Heavenly Father, help us to be alive today. I know you breathed life into us. Each one of us know that. But help us to be alive. Help us to not just go through the day checking off our lists and trying to survive and just get by. Help us to look forward to the things of this day, to be open to the chance encounters that you might orchestrate of people that will pass our way, to words that might be said that will build others up and actually connect us to you. Help us this day to live this day, not just survive. For only in your Son Jesus can we do this. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I'm coming down with you guys. You know, it's funny. I got to ask you a question. What's your passion? I mean, do you have a passion? You can have more than one. But to tell you the truth, I hope you have at least one. What's your passion? I mean, what gets your juices flowing in the morning to get up and get going? What gets you moving where the sparks go off in your head that say, man, I got this to look forward to today? Or do you get up, say, I've got this long list to get done, let me get through the day, and at the end of the day just say, well, I think I checked off a lot of these, and go to bed? What's your passion? You remember when you had a passion? Did you ever have a passion? You see, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that to really be alive, you got to have a passion. It can be something simple. I mean, it could be golf, okay? Some of you have golf as a passion. It could be your children or your grandchildren. It could be your spouse. It could be a ministry that you do. It could be most anything. But I hope you got a passion. Hope there's something that gives you energy, that somehow just lifts you up and it says, I can't wait to engage this. I look forward to it. Because when you have that to look forward to, when you have that you're moving forward, when you have that when you're going forward, all of a sudden, life is life and it's full. It's not just jumping through the hoops. Granted, everybody's got to jump through hoops at times. Is there anybody who doesn't? We all jump through hoops some part of the day. But there's always got to be something that says, I'm so excited to see this person. I'm so excited to engage in this activity. I'm so excited to connect more deeply in this way. What's your passion? You know, if you look at the epistle that we have today, I would venture to guess that if you had met Paul when he was a very young boy, by the way, his name wouldn't have been Paul then, it would have been Saul, because that's how his first name was. He was Saul. I bet you from an early age, his passion was religion. I mean, he says it real clearly. You know, he kind of gives his resume. He says this, if anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, you know, I have more. No competition there, huh? There's no egocentricity in this guy. He says, you know, circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, a tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yeah, I got passion. I'm religious. I got passion. But you know the story. I mean, Saul, who's on his road to the Damascus to persecute more people of the church, gets blinded by the light. He goes from Saul to being Paul, and all of a sudden, he's got a passion still, but his passion is no longer religion. His passion is faith and a relationship with Jesus. He's blinded by the light. He hears Jesus, says, who are you, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus. You know, a lot of us think, oh, well, that passion took place, and boom, you know, Paul, who used to be Saul, was off and running. You know what? That's not true. Paul stayed, I think it was a total of 14 years before he really got into ministry. Basically, he had to go through a lot of hoop jumps. But the truth of the matter is that it didn't matter from that moment of his encounter with Jesus, he was passionate about faith. He finally puts it into words. He says this, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes from faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own. I don't consider it that I've made it my own. You know what? Most people, the way they would term it, they'd say, he was sold out for the Lord. He was sold out. There was nothing that was going to get in his way. There was nothing to get in. I mean, look at the book of Romans. Neither life nor death, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come. Nothing can separate from him. There was something that took place to him that got a passion where he wanted to know the living God. Not just have knowledge of the living God, but know the living God. I wonder how many of us get to that place. I mean, let's put it online here. J.I. Packer once said, he said, you know what? He said, when you evaluate where you are in relationship to God, he goes, I hope you don't base it on knowledge of God. Although knowledge of God is really necessary and good, you got to have some of that, but I hope you don't base it on. He goes, I hope you don't base it on the skills and the gifts that you have used in the community of faith. Although those things are really important, those things are good. But I hope when you get to the place where you really evaluate your relationship with God, you evaluate it on prayer and changes of heart. Not what you know, but who you know. You know, I mean, if anything, that's what Jesus, you know, teaches, which I find in society. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, Christianity proves that. And here he is, Paul. He wants to know Christ, and he wants to experience the sufferings. He wants to go through the resurrection. He wants to obtain that. He wants to move forward. He wants to go through. He's passionate about that. He wants to get beyond where he is to where he knows he's called to be. You know, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, you were called by God to have a relationship with God. It was a call. Don't worry, it wasn't a collect call. It was not a collect call, but the reality is that God paid for that through his grace, through Jesus' sacrifice. That's what this is all about. And Paul has been moving from where, in a sense, if you really look at the scriptures, what he says real clearly, you know, the circumcised on the eighth day, member of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, etc. and so on. He was based all on performance back there. And then all of a sudden, he realizes the grace of God on the road to Damascus, and he switched from performance to response. He realized that Christ has already done it for me, but if it's real to me, I better respond to it. I wonder how many of us get to that place. See, I think a lot of us know that in the knowledge, but we don't know that in our hearts. Because what that means is it changes everything. It changes everything. You no longer perform to receive from God salvation, life. You no longer perform. You respond because he's already laid it out there for you. Now will you receive it? Will you take it in? In a sense, it's been a gift for you because faith is a gift of God. Paul says that real clearly. Faith is a gift. He's given you this gift. The question is, will you open up that gift or are you going to keep it wrapped and set it up on a shelf? Because you see, a lot of us in the Christian faith keep it wrapped, leave the ribbon on it, set it up on a shelf, and say, well, good, I got that when I die, but I don't know if I really want to open this right now. What Paul's teaching us more than anything else is, you know what? Start opening that sucker up. He says this is the way you open it, too. He comes to the place after he says, I consider that I have met, not that I have considered that it's my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You know what? You've got to forget what lies behind. And what lies behind isn't just the things, the mistakes that you made. What Paul lays out real clearly, don't forget, he said he's circumcised on the eighth day, a Hebrew of Hebrews, member of the tribe of Benjamin. You know, as for, you know, discipline, he's a Pharisee. I mean, to be a Pharisee in those days, you didn't start that like I did when I was about 26 years old going off to seminary and partied my brains out for 10 years prior to that. You start that when you're a Pharisee, you start that out as a child, basically. Go through, you learn your stuff, and you know, you're the good little boy. You do it all the way through. And Paul's saying, you know what? I got to forget that. I got to forget that I was a Pharisee in a sense. Not forget the things that I know. Not forget, you know, that I may have had some great accomplishments, but I can't set my, you know, sights on the fact that, well, you know, I'm a member of the tribe of Benjamin. That's no big deal. You know, I mean, I used to always laugh when I was raised Presbyterian, and I always laughed when I became an Episcopalian. You know, I mean, I don't know if you know what they used to refer to the Episcopalians as. They used to refer to them as the frozen chosen. You know, I mean, if you went back into the 28 prayer book, you know, we got the new prayer book in 79, at the peace, I mean, think about the peace now. It's somewhat like, you know, in fact, I always accuse Nancy of going around and running for mayor as she talks to everybody. You know, I mean, people talk to each other. But back in the day, this is where the peace of, and some of you are Episcopalians, know. Now may the peace of the Lord be with thy spirit. And everybody go like this. There was no warmth. There was nothing. The truth of the matter is you got to be passionate about it. This is your brothers and your sisters. There's community here. A lot of you know that in this congregation. This is family. We are family. And that means that in family, everybody's a little dysfunctional. Thank God. Thank God that I can be here because I am totally dysfunctional. You've heard it say before, you know, my brain is a bad neighborhood to grow up in. I have neighborhood watch going on up here. But the truth of the matter is this, is that you move beyond where you are because you finally realize that God's already done it for you and that all you have to do is respond. And because of that, you can be real. You know, if you rely on being a member of the tribe of Benjamin or being Episcopalian, you're not real. That might be a great thing to say, but if that's where you get your identity, you're really messed up. Because where you get your identity is, I got the image of God within me. I'm one of God's children, and I'm one of the dysfunctional ones. Isn't that great? Because he really loves me. You know, the scripture is clear. Paul says you got to forget those accomplishments. Forget them. Don't focus on them. Doesn't mean that they'll go away, but you can't focus on them. Then he's got to forget also the things that you did make mistakes on. And he names it. He says, you know what, as for zeal, persecuting the church. I mean, Paul was at, and he could be convicted in a court of law, probably even today with the evidence that we have, that he held the coats of the people who stoned Stephen, the first martyr of the church, to death. That he held their coats. Actually, he probably orchestrated it, but he was smart enough to keep it at arm's length so he wouldn't, you know, get anything that was right there. He wasn't the one that was totally culpable. He just encouraged everybody to do it. He was in the conspiracy to get him. Well, you know what? He's got to forget that too. How many of us have a hard time forgetting the things that we've made mistakes on? I mean, think about it. I love that old line from that song, "A fool will lose tomorrow reaching back for yesterday." Sometimes we reach back for yesterday to regroup and say all the things that we did wonderful. But sometimes we reach back at the things we didn't so good so that somehow we can redo it in our head so we can sort of rewrite it so that it wasn't as bad as it was. What Paul is saying is, let all of it go. Let all of it go and move forward. Don't think about what happened yesterday. Think about what's happening today and tomorrow. Stretch forward. And that's truly what God wants of us. To strain forward. The word strain here actually comes from an illustration of a track star, a guy who's running a race, and that he puts his whole heart into it to win that race. And he's running the race, and he's getting out there, and there's people all around him. But he strains forth, leaning forward, with almost his arm out there, so he can get across the finish line first. That's what Paul is describing. It's an athletic illustration. To strain forward. When was the last time you strained for something you were impassioned about? Ask yourself that. Because the truth of the matter is, if you aren't, then you're probably surviving and not living. Because you got to be excited about things. You got to be excited. Pick one thing. Pick anything. I don't know. Start there. But you got to get excited about it, because somehow if you get excited about it, then all of a sudden you're going to have a better chance of getting excited about the living God. Because until you practice in the little things of your regular day life about being excited about, maybe your children or maybe your grandchildren, I'm excited. Yeah, it's a pain in the tail to have to drive all this distance to go be with them, but you know what? I just want to be with them. You know what? That's when all of a sudden you get alive. Yeah, you know, I got to, oh my God, I got to pick up the golf clubs. I got to carry them. I got to clean them up afterwards. I got to do this. But you know what? When I'm out there, I'm alive. Practice on those little things. Because if you practice on the small things, being passionate, then you know when it comes to this big thing, it's going to be easier to be passionate. You're going to be moving forward. But you got to strain. You got to get your heart beating. You got to get that level up going where your pulse rate is getting higher and higher. Because you got to strain forward. What's your passion? What are you passionate about? You know, I want to end with a story. I can't remember who told me this story, so I'm going to just opt out and not tell you who it is. But the story is got from another clergy person, and that person described an event that took place years ago when his church was having an Advent program. It was the Advent program getting ready for Christmas. And the kids in the nursery had all come together during that whole thing. They'd practice this program, you know, for Christmas to do it, to make the presentation to the rest of the congregation. But they also had made gifts for all their parents, you know, things that they made. This one little boy was more excited about the gift he'd made for his father than actually doing the pageant that he was supposed to be in. And he had this gift that he had made for his dad, an ashtray. You know, back in the day, in the 50s and the 60s, where you'd make an ashtray out of that clay. And he had made this ashtray, and he was so excited to get it to his dad. He just wanted to get it to his dad. He loved his dad, and he just wanted to get it. And the day of the pageant, he went down to his classroom to get the gift. He got the gift, and he was going out, coming out the door, and as he was running to get to see his dad to give him the gift, he tripped, and he fell, and the ashtray fell on the ground and broke in pieces. The father immediately went over to him, picked up his son, and looked at his son, held his son real tight, and said to his son, typical of what we men do, you know, don't worry about it. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm fine without that. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Don't let it be. But the mother, who was a little bit wiser, came over, picked the son from the father, took him in her arms, sat down on the floor, and said to the father, it is a big deal. This was something your son made. It is a big deal. And then she proceeded to sit on the floor with her son and cry. Not long, but long enough. To cry and to grieve the gift and the brokenness of that gift. When they were done crying, all of a sudden, she looked at her son and she said this, now let's pick up the broken pieces and see what we can make out of this. Forgetting what's behind and striving, straining to what is ahead is what we all have to do. We all have broken pieces in our life. Some of them are accomplishments. Some of them are mistakes. Some of them are downright sins. But if we stay in that place, we will lose tomorrow. If we stay in that place, we will never become what we're called to be. If we stay in that place, then we stay right where, you know what, God doesn't want us to be. But if we move forward, straining forward, to set those things aside, to picking up the pieces of our life and try and make something new out of it with the guidance of our Creator, the guidance of our Lord, then all of a sudden we become alive. And there's a passion that takes place to where you will have a spring in your step. You will have your heart race where you will be excited about being alive. And tomorrow will be the best ever, because you will be fully with the Lord and you won't be checking off a list to see, okay, well, I got this done today. At the end of the day, you'll say, thanks so much for being with me all day. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come with all your broken pieces and kneel at the altar. Grieve, perhaps, but then pick up those pieces and give them to the Lord and let him put those pieces back together and make something even better than you could think of before. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.